Reddit. The front page of the internet. One of the largest websites in existence today. While discussion about nearly everything you can think of is just a mere few clicks away, there exists a dark side. A realm full of some of the strangest, most perplexing, and haunting posts out there. Threads that make it seem like something is wrong. This is the dark side of Reddit. Picture this. It's the dead of night, and throughout the air, it's silent. The peculiar, intimate comfort of late-night TV echoes throughout your home, and in a funny way, it's serene. You get up to grab a drink, yet as you walk to the kitchen, a blood-curdling, primal scream pierces the silence. Someone needs help. The police didn't investigate, and it's been bothering me. At around 8:30 to 8:45, I arrived home from a quick trip to town to grab a beer. As I got out of my car, I could hear something. I thought for a moment that I had left the TV on and was hearing it from outside. But as I walked to the front of my car and pressed the lock button on my remote, I realized that what I was hearing was screaming. I listened for a second, thinking it was someone screwing around. But then the woman's voice screamed, "No, stop. You're hurting me. You're killing me," and an adult male voice yelling something I couldn't make out. There was a dog barking from the same direction, as well as a repeated thudding noise. I immediately dialed 911 and told the police. They could even hear the screaming in the background. They said they'd send an officer to drive by, but an hour passed and none came. I watched for them on my security cameras. I pulled the footage from the only one that was set to record constantly. The camera on my back door only records when it detects a humanoid shape, so it caught me making the phone call and a little of the screaming in the background. The backyard camera caught it all, but it's unintelligible due to the outdoor AC unit noise. I cleaned up the audio as best I could, but I need advice on how to proceed. I'm attaching a Dropbox link to the video. I also included the original in the second half of the video. If you watch it, the screaming was coming from directly where the camera's pointed, but more than 50 feet away, across a narrow field. There's a small shack that has a couple cars, usually parked on the road, just on the other side of that field. It's bothering me a lot, since I'm 41 years old and have never heard anything so disturbing in real life. The following is the OP's video. Thank you. As you guys may know, early Nexpo was pretty big on, let's just say videos of screams that may have been mountain lions or foxes. Given how easily these can mimic the sound of a real human screaming, it's easy to mistake them for someone in distress. Here, though, this case seems very eerily different. The sound is muddled. VOP heard discernible words. This clearly isn't an animal. Over the next few days, this post would gain considerable traction on the investigative subreddit RBI. Commenters chimed in with countless theories and methods to pursue this further. Yet the weird part is, the police seem to have no interest in solving this case at all. I talked to them and they wrote down what I said. I showed them the video and they have copies of it. They said they'd do a welfare check. They also told me to drop it and not to trespass or I would be cited. They said they'll handle everything, so I guess I'm just gonna have to watch the newspapers and see if anything comes up of it. That's all I can do. I've done my due diligence, and I really hope everything's alright. It's frustrating, hopeless, and annoying to hear, but it's clear that there was nothing further the OP could do. They took his statement, they watched his video, and all that was left was to hold out hope that maybe, by the grace of God, something would actually come out of this. And so, back to his routine he goes, into the now uneasy serenity of his home. The TV echoing, the dark consuming. Everything is fine. Right. I posted last year about coming home and hearing a female voice screaming for her life. I posted a video with the audio of the scream and got plenty of comments. About 2 months later, the house that it was coming from had sheriff's cars all around it. I found out that an elderly man had committed suicide via gunshot, that his son was the only person home, and that he was the one who reported that his father had shot himself. Fast forward to last week, I was sitting at home watching YouTube when I heard gunshots. I live in the country and that's common, so I didn't think much of it. Turns out it was the sound of that son murdering his mother. He's trying to claim self-defense, but he's being charged with murder. I live next door and my security cameras caught the audio of the murder. It also captures the vehicle the son made his getaway in. I've had detectives in and out, gathering video footage for the past week. This is a family annihilator. They're now looking at him for murder of his father as well. The case has been reopened, and if they had recognized that my calls and reports were actually real, two lives could have been saved. The OP saga, as we've seen, took place over the span of months. Yet who knows how long the victim's torment was going on inside. It's frustrating to read, because the OP tried, they truly did. Unfortunately, though, the local PD did nothing when it was most pivotal to help. Nothing was done after screams emanated from their home. Nothing was done after the death of the father. It was a total familicide, and who knows what the mother went through in the months before her death. Alone, confined, and imprisoned with her son. As far as it's known, Tim Johnson II, the man responsible for all of this, remains in police custody, facing 15 years to life due to his crimes. While he's since admitted to murdering his own mother, he still maintains that his father had taken his own life. A claim that, given the circumstances, is a definite reach to believe. No matter how we look at it, though, no amount of justice can bring back the lives that he brutally stole from people who likely couldn't fight back. It's disgusting, and it leaves a terrible taste in my mouth because all of this could have been entirely prevented. it wasn't.
We'll return after these messages.
Alright guys, before we continue, I'd like to tell you about tonight's video sponsor, Ingogni. Alright, so as we know, one of the most important facets of the online experience today is privacy. But as we progress into an increasingly interconnected future, the expectation of it has only dwindled. Identity theft and credit card fraud are but just two examples of issues that run rampant because of this, and there's gotta be a way to fight back. Enter Ingogni, a service that scours the internet for any traces of your info, submitting demands to have your leaked data removed. Because Ingogni is constantly on the hunt, it gives me peace of mind because I know that there's a dedicated team out there fighting for my privacy. I wholeheartedly recommend that all of you use Ingogni. Getting set up is a breeze. Navigating their system is simple and straightforward. And for once, you'll actually feel a sense of control over your data. Go to incogni.com/nexpo and use code NEXPO for an exclusive offer of 60% off. Once again, that's incogni.com/nexpo and use code NEXPO or click the link below to take your personal data off the market. Thank you so much to Ingogni for sponsoring tonight's video. Now let's get back to it. It's late at night. You check into your local Super 8 to wind down. Everything is calm and chill. You order a pizza and flip on some late night TV to fill the dead air. Yet as you press through the channels,
a passenger with green eyes.
Somehow, a station that shouldn't exist stares back at you, quite literally. It's a man's face buried in static, yet it's eerily still. Who is this, you ask? What in the world is happening? Ooh. 11 p.m., September 4th, 2022. Hello, X. While talking with my friend, they sent me a video of their TV, zooming in on a face surrounded by static. They're residing in a Super 8 hotel with channels 1 through 68, yet they found an unnamed channel 73. The top right corner of the video says Plus TV, which appears to be a now defunct Finnish broadcasting service. There's no sound, and the TV manufacturer is Samsung. They found other channels with static and no sound, but no others have the face or Plus TV logo. Neither of us or the two people I told this have found anything online regarding this. Alongside this, they include a picture of the TV guide, which goes up to channel 68, and a recording of them flipping through stations before landing on the mysterious channel 73. Going by the guide, this shouldn't exist, which ultimately left everyone wondering, how the hell is this happening? Hi, friend of the OP here. If anyone actually has any idea what this could be, I'm curious to know. I'll be checking again in the morning to see if the channel's still there. It's 12 a.m. right now, and it's the same thing. I have literally no clue what this could be. I've been looking around on Google for stuff, but nothing that looks like this, and I can't think of a reason for this to be here. That video is mad creepy. I'd turn the TV the fuck off and get the fuck out. Now I'm scared of some ring shit. Pluto TV? Maybe someone's online TV thing got fucky with your TV. I don't know. As we can see, anons were understandably fascinated and freaked out. Theory upon theory chimed in, Yet everyone ultimately wanted to hear from this friend themselves. You can't just drop something like this into the online void and dip. We all need answers. This is the friend again, posting from phone right now. It's late as shit, so I know it's just a weird hallucination, but I swear I saw the shadow of a person sitting on the foot of the bed next to me. I obviously need sleep. If I'm dead in the morning, well, then fuck. I'll check the video again in the morning to see if anything's changed, but I'm leaving here tomorrow, so I won't be able to examine further, though maybe that's a good thing. Also, yes, I did check again before sleeping, and it was the same still. As the night carried on, not much more seemed to come from this. Theories about analog channels and placeholder screens began to roll in, with quite a few skeptics in the mix. For all anyone knew, this could have been real, or perhaps yet another LARP that would inevitably lead nowhere. Regardless, the OP went to bed, and did their best to put this out of their mind. The face is still there. I got some more video and photos from different angles, but I can't post the rest until friends online, or if I'm back on PC because I don't have the data to right now. I'll have to post more later. More specific info, though probably no real use. The Super 8 we were staying at is in Barrie, Ontario, in room 404. If anyone in the area is wanting to throw money away just to see if the channel's still there, feel free to. I'm leaving now.
There's literally a station on the TV. Go to it. And it's a toilet. It's a fucking camera pointed at a toilet. And there's no sound. It hasn't moved.
This story fascinates me because this isn't the only case I know of explaining weird-ass shit popping up on motel room TVs. Just a few years ago, another case went viral after someone found a live feed of what appeared to be the inside of a restroom on a random channel. After reporting it to staff, though, it never showed up again. Police got nowhere. No answer ever came out of this. Now, let's just call a spade here. These two instances are remarkably easy to fake. All you have to do is take a few minutes to edit something together, hook your computer up to the HDMI port on the TV, and play it back as a video. In all honesty, it's very possible that these cases are hoaxes. However, if we assume that they aren't, then that leaves us with a couple possibilities on what could be going on here. Motel room TVs typically run on a closed system. They pull from a TV provider, whether it's Dish Network, DirecTV, what have you, and beam it to all of their room televisions through a central internal wiring system. Given the nature of this, it's possible that the motel's system had registered channels that didn't actually exist or sync with their provider. And in this case, it seems like it may have been previously connected to the Plus TV service. Why it's frozen, and why it specifically sat on an uncanny, indiscernible photograph of a man's face, is unfortunately unknown. However, it's possible that someone could have been messing around here. Hey OP, I think I know exactly what this is. So back in the day when analog TVs and shit were more common, there was a nefarious hobby for nerds called TV pirating, which is where you hijack an unused low-frequency channel from nearby and can broadcast whatever you want on it. I used to do it quite often in Topeka, both on TV and radio. Anyway, it's still common in some places, although harder to not get caught or be shut down automatically in a matter of seconds. So what TV pirates do now is run very low-quality tests with static and a symbol in the center, usually at SEMIT codes 45 and 85 degrees respectively, to broadcast a recog symbol and test if it works while also being an inside joke to other TV pirates who they may know online or in real life. I'll look around to see if I know any TV pirates in Buffalo who would broadcast this. Given this theory, it's entirely plausible that one of the hotel staff, or someone in the area, had secretly gotten access to the hotel's internal broadcast system, beaming this to every TV the night the Anon discovered it. For instance, there's a system called Hack TV in which you can find examples all over the internet of people testing this on analog sources, and at first glance, these fake broadcasts appear legit. Given the fact that hotel TVs still run through coaxial cables, this is entirely possible, if we're assuming that this isn't one big hoax. To be honest, I do find it interesting that the Anon was the only person in this big-ass hotel who saw it that night. You would think that calls would have been pouring in, other footage surfacing online, a bigger discussion taking root around this, but there wasn't. All we have is an X-thread, an insanely interesting, eerie X-thread. But that's it. Regardless if this is still going on or not, cases like this do freak me out. With Max Headroom, 96.7, the HBO incident, even tales like WKCR, there's something inherently creepy about a complete stranger reaching out to you through analog media. Perhaps people overlooked it. Perhaps no one even bothered to tune in past Channel 68. Or even, maybe people did call on the front desk, and we never knew it. This story, in its entirety, is a complete mystery, and to this day, leaves me curious on not only how exactly it happened, but who this face even is. So, if you recognize this man from anywhere, let me know. Because tonight, an entirely different internet oddity, just mine, be taking root. What's the strangest, most baffling disappearance, murder, or other crime that you know of? Something that makes such little sense that you can't begin to wrap your head around it. January 9th, 2023. The murder of Christopher Morris, boy found dead in a dishwasher on a military base in Texas. The case itself is obviously disturbing and depressing. But what's extra weird is that there's next to no information about this murder seemingly anywhere online until a couple years ago. Then posts started popping up, all of which had the same weird, bot-like comments from people claiming to know Christopher or be personally involved in the case. These comments are eerily uniform and seem to be written by the same person, if not by actual bots. Examples can be found in the comments section here. Obviously, it's not necessarily unusual for people to come forward on a post about someone they knew, but just read these comments and you'll see what I mean. Some people have gone so far as to suggest that the case is wholly fictional, like the Red Spider murders, which used to appear in true crime discussions until it was revealed that author Colin Wilson had invented the whole story. It's weird that there are, as far as I know, no other corroborating reports that the murder even happened outside of the aforementioned blog posts and weird comment threads, though others have noted that murders on military bases are notoriously shrouded in secrecy and covered up. In September of 2000, in the quiet town of Wichita Falls, Texas, a boy named Chris Morris was found naked, dead, and trapped inside of a Shepherd Air Force Base dishwasher. The culprit, to this day, has never been found. Yet the circumstances surrounding it, as we've seen, have given rise to another mystery entirely. Chris Morris, Christopher Morris dishwasher, Chris Morris death, dishwasher death, Chris Morris dishwasher death. Not a single archival search seems to bring up archives about this case at all. You would think that such an unconventional, disturbing death of a child would send shockwaves across the nation. However, much like the OP stated, this is far, far from the case. Nested within an October article of the Shepherd Senator, a local newspaper pertaining to the eponymous Air Force Base and surrounding town, one article seems to be all anyone's been able to find to confirm the veracity of this story. This bizarre, eerie death definitely happened, so why wasn't it brought up elsewhere? Why is this the only piece of information we can find? Where online is Christopher Morris? In the early 2000s, a Blogspot page was born, created by a group of activists dedicated to sharing and addressing cases of domestic violence. Their site, the Penile Code Avenger, shared studies and opened the door to a community of victims to have a voice about any past trauma they may have gone through. According to the website's creator of the same name, they claim, "I'm here to expose a fundamental problem that lies buried due to shame, retaliation, pain, and even death. Domestic violence, and to deal with the aftermath." For over a decade, they would share various articles about the topic. However, strangely, on the 17th of May, 2005, they would change it up a bit, posting a thread about an oddly specific type of death. Taken from Newswise, the article dives into child deaths that have happened on military bases, giving data for a much higher than I expected rate of child mortality. There was no further insight given by Penile Code Avenger. No thoughts, nothing. Just an article cast out to the void for whoever's interested to take a look at. Now, that's all completely fine, and nothing about their website or any of this raises any cause for concern. In fact, this blog would never have been mentioned tonight if it weren't for the bizarre, uncanny phenomenon that would follow it. I lived in Wichita Falls, Texas for a long time before returning to Oklahoma. Shepherd Air Force Base is in Wichita Falls. A few years ago, a young boy, I can't remember his exact age, 5 to 7 years old maybe, was found in the dishwasher of his family home, which was inside the base. He had been sexually assaulted, tortured, murdered. Then his body ran through a full cycle in the dishwasher. Officials speculated that the killer had done that to wash away evidence. After the initial report on the local news, nothing else was ever reported on it. Very hush-hush. I'm not sure why I'm leaving this comment, except that this entry reminded me of that. May God watch over the children. I'm also from Wichita Falls. I think that it was more than a few years ago. I had heard that no one was home, and he was a latchkey kid. When the father came home, he found him because the dishwasher racks had been taken out and placed in the middle of the floor. It was said that he was being harassed by older kids and that all logs of people in and out of the base were questioned, but nothing ever happened. I seen a webpage put up by his aunt not too long ago, asking for any information. I think about this every week. I really wish this would have been solved. It probably would have been if it happened now, but at the time, they didn't have all that they do now. Okay, so people who knew him are looking for info. Interesting, but not that strange. Christopher was my best friend, and they say his dad did it, but I know him and he loved Christopher, and he wouldn't ever have done such a thing. And Christopher died at 11. I was 11 also. He lived down the street from me, and we were inseparable. I'm now 15 years old, and I live in Oklahoma, and there's a website about Chris. And if you know, can you please give it to me? I would appreciate it, and I miss him every day. Hey all, I'm Christopher's cousin. My name is Brittany Schultz. I'm also looking for any and all updated information on the case. If anyone hears anything, contact me on Facebook or email me at brent306@yahoo.com. Christopher's murder has yet to be brought to justice. Thanks for your prayers. I'm Christopher's mother. I miss him each and every day. My name's like Kelly, my daughter, and I live a street said, away from hello Christopher. All. I'm Courtney Bolden. I was stationed at Shepherd when this happened to Christopher. I believe his family moved into the North Street. I was not away that day. The laughter of kids playing was shattered by police sirens. I don't quite know what it is, but there's something about this that unnerves me. On this random blog, hidden away within the vast expanse of the internet, one that primarily centers on domestic violence and sexual assault, we have a random article about child deaths and a flood of bizarre comments, all bringing up Chris and claiming to know him personally. Comment after comment after comment all seem to carry the same sentiment. Random, specifically formatted emails. Stories from anons who never showed up again. Names that don't match up. This case seems to have no mention, aside from a handful of obituaries in one single archive newspaper. But here, what is going on here? Given that this phenomenon began in the mid-2000s, it mostly rules out the potential of this being the work of bots. So either this is his family, or someone impersonating them. Upon heading to a few of their profiles, we can see that they created their accounts shortly after the article was posted, going forth to share their comments, and never returning again. When it comes to Shelby, the supposed best friend, though, they link to a site of their very own, one titled riptochristopher.blogspot.com. Unfortunately, though, this lead is a dead end. No archives were made. No posts can be found. It's just sitting here, buried within the comments section of this random 2005 article. A big part of me wants to believe that his family is the one doing this. In a way, though, it's more depressing to ponder, because if this were them, then this seems like an act of desperation. A plea to get any eyes on this case when the news media had failed them. As we know, mentions of Chris, even today, are sparse. So imagine how you'd feel if you were faced with this dilemma in the Wild West days of the internet. I don't know, there's something about the emails though. They all carry a random name with an underscore in the middle. The name of the sister doesn't match up with her username. All of the details and structure of their writing just seems off. For all we know, this could have been a random person who latched on to this case. This very real case. Yet, given the nature and limitations of Blogspot, we'll unfortunately never know it. Christopher Morris died before his life could ever get started, and no one ever talked about it. Whispers of his name remain confined to the void of internet archives, seemingly frozen in time. Given the unsolved nature of his death, we can only hope that the evidence, if any were ever kept, are given a second look, as it's highly plausible that his family, to this day, are desperately searching for answers. How did this boy die? Why was this never pursued? And most importantly, who in the world forced Christopher Morris in the dishwasher? Reddit. A hub full of nearly every topic you can think of. The internet's gathering ground with the dark side that grows day by day. Tonight, you and I dove into three more eerie cases that I've recently uncovered. I hope you all enjoyed this, and if you have any submissions for this series, feel free to submit them to dtfaisubmissions@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for watching. I'll see you soon. I love you all. And good night. Thank you.